Well, today is the day that Air India might run out of not just cash, but also fuel. October the 18th marks the date that three oil suppliers to India's national carrier, that's Indian Oil Corporation, Bharat Petroleum and Hindustan Petroleum, said that they were going to stop providing fuel for Air India's jets because they are simply owed too much money. So much, in fact, if you read our story a few months ago, that Indian Oil's chairman, Sanjeev Singh, says he has to borrow $540 million annually to support the credit to his customer. In other words, if Air India actually paid his bill on time, or their bills on time, for the fuel that they need to fly the planes and fly passengers around, then Indian Oil would save $540 million in terms of working capital loans.
Mm.
Quite remarkable, Simon Littlewood, isn't it? The airports that would possibly be affected are generally domestic airports, but Hyderabad and Raipur might also be affected if they go through with it. All of this at a time that Air India is looking to be privatized. $7.6 billion worth of debt, a $1 billion bond issue didn't get off the ground, if you'll pardon the pun. And Simon, it might be that Air India won't get off the ground either if they stop those oil supplies.
Well, we know about state-connected companies in Air India because we know about what it was like in China 20 years ago when they first started to break up some of these state monopolies. The fact of the matter is that a genuine effort to privatise Air India would lead to absolutely massive job losses because it's extremely inefficient, like most straight-run airlines. What concerns me here about fuel is the way the fuel supply works is they have things called tank farms, which you can see if you look out of the window when you're landing in an airport, you'll see lots of round tanks, and it's typically at the edge of an airport, and there's a bund around it, which is an earth embankment designed to prevent spillage, and they keep a certain level of reserve fuel and, you know, a safety stock in those tanks in order to ensure that the airplanes are kept in the air. So my first question is, how low are those tanks? Are we actually at a point where the suppliers are not supplying and the tanks are nearly empty? Because the implication that we can't fly an aeroplane means that there's actually no fuel in the tank, you know, whereas those tanks should be kept at a high level. Yeah.
Well, Air India would obviously also be concerned about, or would probably use this as a bargaining chip to say, if you don't supply us fuel, then we can't earn any money. And if we don't earn any money, then we can't pay for the fuel, much less repay the various debt that's owed to the government and everywhere else. So, in this case, the customer really has the supplier over a barrel, precisely because the supplier already has committed so much over the years.
Well, except that, of course, at least one of these customers is also a government-related company. So at the end of the day, you're just dealing with massive efficiency here. You know, this is an airline that is not making money. It's as simple as that. It has an enormous pile of debt that it can barely service, and interest rates are very high in India. It's not for no reason that their attempt to raise money, a bond issue of $1 billion, never got off the ground, because who would buy a bond in a company that's losing money hand over fist, is incredibly inefficient, and have masses of debt, you know? So keeping this going is simply an exercise in political expediency. You know, one bureaucrat leans on another bureaucrat and says, please, can you just, you know, send us some fuel, you know? So I slightly take a capitalist view here, which is I'm very sorry for all the people that are even now waiting for their Air India flights. And by the way, I noticed this is tomorrow, right? Tomorrow.
Yes, October the 18th.
October the 18th, they're going to stop.
Having already been pushed out from previously.
Yeah, so theoretically tomorrow, a lot of people are going to turn up at the airport and not be able to fly anywhere because there won't be any fuel to put in the aircraft.
That's
I'm very sorry for them. But at some point, in order for Air India to have any kind of a future, there has to be a pause and a rethink, which is you need to clear away the debt, turn the company into something that is viable, that offers a decent service at a decent price and can make money. So, you know, otherwise, what are you doing? You're kicking the can down the road, which
yes.
is what politicians are really good at.
Let's broaden the conversation away from Air India
yeah.
and away from the issue of fuel supply specifically. Mm. Let's say no matter what industry you're in, you have supplied a customer, maybe year in, year out. The customer has barely paid you for some of the products or services that you've supplied over that time. And it's now gotten to a point where you are pulling the plug, where
yeah.
you're saying, listen, if you don't pay me something, or at least keep up with the lump sum payments or some sort of payment plan, What happens then when the customer turns around and says, well, if you don't keep supplying me, then I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to pay you anything at all?
Well, you know the answer to this is it's a good money over bad question, which is that at some point, of course, you do have to pull the plug, but you shouldn't have let yourself get there. So if you have a pile of overdue debt with a particular customer, the price, the basis on which you continue to supply them is on the basis that the overdue amount that they owe you comes down in a manageable and visible way. Because if it stays the same or goes up, then you're not actually achieving anything by supplying them. It's essentially, you're still carrying the same level of risk. So it's a very simple equation. When you're trying to get your cash flow from receivables working, you do two things. You focus on the front end of the relationship to make sure it's set up insofar as you're able, so as to ensure that you deal with customers who can pay you and you manage the relationship so that they do pay you. But in terms of the overdue debt that you inherit, and every company tends to have some overdue debt, you look at it and you negotiate with the individual customer, assuming they're solvent, they're going to want to keep running their business, so that they are required to pay you a certain amount every month, which covers the new stuff that you're delivering, and starts to erode the overdue stuff. If those two things are not achieved by every monthly payment, then you should no longer be doing business with them because you've got no upside.
And not spend, not throw good money after
that. No, and at the end of the day, but of course, you know, jobs are involved here. You've got a salesman managing the account. You may have a whole department if it's a really big account for an airport. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of resistance in companies to taking firm lines with customers. But the reality, you need to be objective. This is a commercial discussion. It's not personal. Mm-hmm. You know, you owe me a lot of money contrary to the terms on which we've agreed to trade. I need to see that come down or it's not going to be possible for us to work together in the future.
Yeah. So in short, manage the situation so you never get there. If you are there, try to whittle down the amount owed. And if they can't do that, then walk away.
Whittling it down, you know, in my experience, and I've been involved in a number of these negotiations, comes down to, you know, a schedule which says this is what you will pay us every month. In addition to any new stuff that you buy, which you'll settle in a timely way, you will erode the overdue debt by these specific amounts every month. And the moment that you don't, unless there's a very good reason indeed, you know, the whole arrangement will stop.
And we will stop the conversation here and invite your comments for the podcast. Drop us a note in the comments box. We'd love to hear from you.